concerned about his ministry than he is his daughter. His focus is on delivering them. He is more concerned about the deliverance than he is his daughter. He puts drama into her life instead of taking drama out of her life.
You're listening to Treasure Truth with Pastor and author James Ford Jr., Senior Pastor of the Christ Bible Church in Chicago. I'm Steve Hiller. Glad you're with us. And every parent, if we're going to be really honest, probably bristled at that last statement, at least a teeny bit right there. But before we get into that, I want to back up and, Pastor, ask, who is this he that we're talking about here who's more concerned about his ministry than he appears to be about his daughter?
Well, we're talking about Jephthah in the book of Judges. And he made a foolish vow, but he kept his vow because he understood it's better not to vow than to make a vow to God and not pay it. And so we're talking about Jephthah, and he went through some changes, but he also put his daughter through some changes as well.
He put her through some horrible stuff right now.
Yes,
and I'm imagining somebody listening and saying, I got to admit, not real familiar with the story of Jephthah and his vow. What happened?
Well, his vow was, God, if you give me victory, the first thing that comes out of my door, I will sacrifice it to you. And the first thing that came out of his door was his daughter.
Yeah.
Wow. And so his vow really kind of canceled out the victory, because now you have to sacrifice your daughter. Yeah.
An incredible loss. Like you said earlier, just a very, very foolish vow that he made.
And you know, somebody said to me, and you've heard this before, I'm sure, Steve, well, our children don't come with a manual. Well, they don't come with a manual, but there's a manual that teaches us how to raise our children.
Yeah.
And here's what you're going to find in Scripture. Let me go on record as saying it. There are poor parents who raise good children and good parents who raise poor children.
Sure.
You see? And so you have to understand three things: that they have nature, nurture, and notion. Only God can control nature. He's the only one that can change it. We control nurture, their education, their environment, their experiences. But then they have notion, Ezekiel 18. You know, they make a decision. They can use it, or they don't have to.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we could spend all program talking about this, but right now we're going to be in Judges chapter 11. So if you can join us there as we begin, Always Daddy's Little Girl. Here is Pastor Ford.
Some of you may remember the blockbuster movie that came out around 2002, starring one of my favorites, Samuel L. Jackson. The title of it was A Time to Kill. You remember the plot of that movie. Samuel L. Jackson, or what he was actually called, Carl Lee Haney in the movie, had a 10-year-old daughter. And that daughter was brutally raped by Billy Ray Cobb and James Lewis Willard. I remember that powerful scene where the lawyer was saying, imagine this, and then he said, imagine if she was white. That turned the whole thing around. He said, woo, he dropped the bomb on him. But I remember the hospital scene in particular. Here she was, 10 years old. Her frail body had been raped and battered and dragged behind a truck. They had her hooked up with IV and stitches all over her frail little body, bandages everywhere. She looked up in her father's eyes, and this is what she said. Daddy, when those men were hurting me, I called for you, Daddy. Over and over again, I called for you, Daddy. Daddy, where were you? Daddy, where were you? See, that's the plight of a lot of daughters today. Where were you, Daddy? Where were you, Daddy, when I was afraid of the dark as a little girl and needed you to tuck me in and hug me and give me a kiss on my forehead and let me know that your presence was enough, that I didn't need a nightlight because I had your light? Where were you, Daddy? Where were you when boys start showing me all of this attention and I didn't know whether it was for me or what they could get out of me? Daddy, where were you? Where were you, Daddy, when I got dressed up for my prom and I needed you to look at me and say, wow, doesn't my little princess look gorgeous? And to tell my date, now let me tell you how you better act with her tonight and what time you better have her home tonight. And remember, anything you do to her, I'm gonna do to you. Daddy, where were you? Where were you, Daddy, when I lost my virginity? Because it was my first love. And I thought I'd lose him if I didn't give him some. Where were you, Daddy? I say it all the time, ad infinitum, ad nauseum. Our wives need our what? Somebody ought to remember it. I say it enough. Affection. That's right. They need a good mate. Our sons need our protection. They need a good manager. But our daughters need our protection. They need a good model. God has given us something special, that daddy-daughter relationship. Recent studies have yielded these kind of results. University of Arizona study says that 90% of all teenage girls are unhappy with their weight. Well, I know a 66-year-old man ain't too pleased with his either. But listen to this. It says, quote, a parallel study showed that girls who are not affirmed by their fathers are more likely to be promiscuous and less likely to commit to long-term relationships. Of 273 women polled, of those who lacked a father to guide them became underachievers in almost every significant way you can achieve. Marshall Hamilton, a well-known researcher, concludes, quote, the lack of constructive interaction with a loving, attentive father results in apprehension and inadequate skills. You end up with a daughter that cannot relate to a man. See, that's why we have so many troubles in these marriages. Women trying to be their husband's mama instead of the wife. I know I'm putting oil to the squeak. Ain't nobody saying nothing. And so here it is. Here it is. End of quote. By providing our daughters with the exception, attention, and affection that they yearn for, we can bring some very real benefits in their lives. Two of the biggest are confidence to achieve greatness. Wow. Yeah, and here's the second, modeling for future relationships. Now, I know it doesn't always turn out this way, and I know that we did the ring thing back in the 90s and the early 2000s, but yeah, that worked for some young ladies. There were some young ladies when their father gave them a ring and said, okay, give me back mine. When you find somebody who will put that ring on your finger and treat you like I treated you. It didn't work for every young lady, but it sure worked for a lot of young ladies as they gave that commitment ring back to their father. I found a man just like you who knows how to love a woman for who a woman is and not just for what a woman had. So when you look at the statistics, they are abysmal. And remember, they're worse in our community. 24 million children in the U.S. of A. live without their father. That's one in three children. That means whenever you see some kids, count one, two, three. One of them is without a father in their home. One, two, three. One of them is without a father in their home. And so you look at it, 24 million children, which means then for girls, girls without fathers are 2.5 times more likely to get pregnant. Girls without their father are twice as likely to drop out of school as girls whose father is in the home. They are 4 times as likely to have emotional disorders and behavioral disorders when they do not have their father in the home. They are 37% more likely to abuse drugs and alcohol when their father is not in the home. and they are 53% more likely to commit suicide when their father is not in the home. The impact of a father on a daughter. Power that he has. The modeling, the things he conveys, sets the tone for most young ladies on how they're going to relate to men for the rest of their life. Now, before I move on, I want to thank God for the fathers who are in the home and who are saying, I can attest to what you're saying because I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Let's give them a hand. There's some fathers who are grandfathers now who say, who look back and their child is in the service and they're smiling and say, see, told you. Go ahead, let's give them some kudos. Amen. And so we're praising God for that. And so when you look at it, sometimes you wonder who that person is, like that lady whose husband died and she had six girls. They were sitting on the front and he was in the casket and the preacher got up to preach and he said, that man in the casket was a great deacon in our church. He loved people. He gave to the church. He loved his wife. All of his girls he spent special time with and paid them special attention. And so nobody could see it, but the girls were looking at each other with a quizzical look on their face and the mama, everybody's looking puzzled. Finally, mother said, girl, one of y'all get up there and go see if that's your daddy in the casket.
Ouch, right? You're listening to Treasure Truth with Pastor Ford. I guess he wasn't feeling it at that point. But our message is called Always Daddy's Little Girl. It's a look at Judges chapter 11, and we're going to continue this teaching in just a moment. If you're listening in another part of the world, we would love to hear from you. That's one of the great things about technology these days. You can be listening, you know, in Chicago, where we are, or you can be listening, you know, in some far-flung country on the other side of the world, and you can still hear this Bible teaching from Pastor Ford. So if that's the case, let us know where you're listening to the broadcast, why you listen, and what difference it's making in your life. Just come to treasuredtruthradio.org and click on the contact link. Once again, here is Pastor Ford.
Our children need from us what God the Father gave to Jesus Christ. How many remember Father's Day message? Yeah, we talked about the model of fatherhood. And we said then in Matthew 17:5, God the Father gave God the Son four things every father ought to give to all their children. Anybody remember what they are? $100 to somebody who gives me all 4 points. Look at there. You don't even remember. Yeah, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. This is my son. Acknowledgement. You belong to me. How many children are tore up from the floor up because they don't know who their parents are? And some have been adopted. But why is it that they always go through that thing of once they are told that they're adopted, who is my daddy and where is my mama? Because even though you took very good care of them, they have a sense of disconnection because they want to know to whom they belong and why they didn't take care of them. My beloved son, that's affection. In whom I'm well pleased, that's affirmation. Hear ye him, that's attention. In our text today, Jephthah failed to provide what his daughter needed. He makes a decision that affects his daughter's life permanently. And so when you look at it, as a matter of fact, I would subtitle it, Daddy's Decision, Daughter's Dilemma. Babe, you remember when we first went to Puerto Vallarta, Mexico? The first time we got sent to Puerto Vallarta, Mexico to suffer for Jesus, I remember it very well. You had three suitcases. And since you couldn't sleep, you had your boombox. I had one suitcase. You remember that, baby? And so at O'Hare, I got one of those little push things. But when we got to Mexico, wasn't none around. And so I'm struggling with all the bags. And she got the boombox. I said, babe, only one of these is mine. Grab one of these and push it or something. She said, You better go find one of them little dolly things. What's your point? My point is this. I'm carrying somebody else's baggage. I'm weighed down by it, and they rolling. She rolling with the boombox. Mexico, this is going to be fun. And I got all the bags. And some of you are sitting here today, and you've got mama's baggage and daddy's baggage because they put you in a place where you suffered the consequences of their poor choices, and now you're sitting here, tore up from the floor up, wrecked, messed up, all because the decision that somebody made that impacts your life adversely. And so then, let me show you the baggage that she carried that actually belonged to her daddy. I want you to notice with me, first of all, because there are five ways in which she carried her daddy's baggage. Number one, she carried the baggage of his career, verses 30 and 31. Well, actually 29. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed over Gilead, and Manasseh passed over Mizpah of Gilead, and from Mizpah of Gilead he passed over to the children of Ammon. And he made a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon in my hands, then it shall be whatsoever comes out of my house. Get this. Here's the point. That the Ammonites for 18 years had controlled the Israelites. Now you go back, I don't have time to do all the work, but if you go back and read, if you're interested in it, here's what you'll find. Jephthah was an outcast among the Jewish people. They didn't like him. They didn't like him because even though his daddy was a Jew, his mama was a prostitute. So he was outcast. This is another sermon, but I'm going to come back and preach it one day because he was an outcast, but it must have been a Mike Jones situation. Back then, you didn't know me. Now I'm hot, y'all on me. Because when they needed somebody to protect them from the Ammonites, they ain't had nobody who had the street sense that Jephthah had, because he grew up in a dysfunctional family. He grew up in the streets, and they all church people. That's why when I go out evangelizing, I like going out with the folk that came out of the streets, because some of the church folk, they stand there and they, you know, praise the Lord, and I watch and pray. Amen. I want somebody been in the street because we know when somebody about to pull the okie doke. You know what I'm saying? We know what's on their mind by the way they walk up to us. Yes. You know, and they walk all up. You say, oh, get ready. You better show them you got swag. You know what I'm saying? Because if you don't, they're going to think you can run over you because you came from the church.
That's right.
Yeah, I let them know. You ain't running over me. I ain't always been saved, baby. And you don't want me to backslide right now. You know what I'm saying? That's right. Shoot, I ain't playing. Yeah. And so now they want him. A reject. Hey, let me just say this. Even though I ain't going to preach it, I don't know when. The people that reject you right now will one day find out God gave you something that he didn't give them that they need from you to go where they want to go. Well, that's it. Wait, look at your neighbor and say, help me preach, say, don't hate on me. And so here it is. He's doing this. He's more concerned about his ministry than he is his daughter. His focus is on delivering them. So notice what he's doing now. He's been accepted. He's so happy about it that he is more concerned about the deliverance than he is his daughter. He's more concerned. And so what does he do? He puts drama into her life instead of taking drama out of her life. Wow. Man, you look at what Israel's doing. It's like, wow, we need him. He's fighting the ites. Go ahead, the Ammonites. Give me the rest of them. You know them. Girgashites. Termites, Shilites, and mosquito bites. And all the ites. Yeah, he fighting all of them. Yeah. And so, wait a minute. Daddy is supposed to protect daughter, keep as much drama out of her life as possible, educate her, so that she comprehends men. You know, I love Discovery Channel, so watching Discovery Channel. It began to talk about Jupiter. This thing interests me, man. So I said, okay, what are they going to say about Jupiter? You ever seen these pictures where they talk about asteroids coming to the Earth? And if it hits the Earth, it's going to break the Earth apart. It can't happen. It will never happen. Ask me why. Because of Jupiter. Jupiter has 318 times the gravity of Earth, which means when asteroids are coming toward the Earth, Jupiter draws them to itself and it crashes. 15 years ago, some asteroids hit Jupiter that scientists say had more accumulative effect than if you took all the atomic bombs of all the nations and put them in one bomb. One asteroid that hit Jupiter had more power than them, and there were hundreds of them that hit Jupiter. Fragments bounced off, Brother Charles, off of Jupiter, and some of it came to Earth. But the bulk of it can never happen because Jupiter draws the drama to itself. Amen. So that, yes, some things get through, but not the big things that could destroy, because Jupiter is there. Now, the Romans didn't even know this. But general, guess what the name Jupiter means? It's Roman. Guess what it means? Sky Father. The word Jupiter means Sky Father. In other words, we're protected not by our Heavenly Father only. He put a Sky Father. He said, yeah, I'm going to put a natural thing here in the sky so you can get an idea of what the earthly father is supposed to do. You got a sky father protecting the earth, and you got a heavenly father protecting the dark.
You're listening to Treasure Truth with Pastor Ford and the beginning of a message called Always Daddy's Little Girl. Really a look at Judges chapter 11. Some of the foolishness of Jephthah. Now, we're going to continue this teaching next time on the broadcast. Hope you make it a point to tune in. But if you know you can't be by your radio, and I get it, many of us, we live crazy busy lives, and it's really hard to be listening to the broadcast each and every day through the radio, you can always listen online. Grab your computer or take your mobile device and head to treasuredtruthradio.org. You can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. You can also order a copy of the broadcast on CD. Or you can even sign up to begin podcasting the program. That way you can listen whenever it fits your schedule. Again, just come to treasuredtruthradio.org. And whether you listen online, on the radio, on the go, through some sort of mobile device, I want you to know that you're able to do so because of the generosity of those who believe in this ministry. And maybe you've given to Treasure Truth and Moody Radio in the past. Thank you for doing that. If you've never given before, if you'd like to give again, would you come to our website, treasuretruthradio.org, and click on the donate button? It really would be helpful to hear from you right now at treasuretruthradio.org and click on donate. Well, thanks for doing that. Thanks also to our producers, Amy Rios and Ryan McConaughey. For Pastor Ford, I'm Steve Hiller. Treasure Truth is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.